Hey, everybody, welcome to church. My name is Sarah Berger, and I am the campus director here at Columbia Station, for those of you who don't know me. And we are kicking off a brand new sermon series today. It's called The Compassionate Christ. And we're going to be studying the Gospel of Mark. And I just highly encourage you guys over the next couple of weeks to read it along with us. Mark is action-packed. It is the shortest of the four Gospels, and you can't help but to be overwhelmed when you read it. You can't help but to notice the kindness, the mercy, and the compassion of Christ. And what I specifically really love is I'm overwhelmed by his ability, his willingness to heal and be with the unlikely. I don't know about you, but in my life, sometimes I feel like an unlikely. When I was a little girl, I was a pastor's kid, and you know what they say about pastor's kids? Some of it's true. I had an awesome home, an awesome mom and dad, but man, I struggled internally. I struggled with insecurity and identity, and I made bad decisions because of it. Anyone relate? I met God in just this powerful way when I was 16 years old. And by his grace, he turned my life just absolutely radically around. He gave me beauty for ashes. He met me and he gave me this calling and this sense of purpose to follow him, to be a part of his church. And he gave me a passion for his people. And so as we study this over the next couple of weeks, I just ask, man, if you feel like an unlikely, make it a point to come to church over the next several weeks. Because our gracious God, he wants to meet you exactly where you're at. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I love you. I thank you that you are a God of compassion, that you are a God that helps the unlikely like me and the rest of us in this room. I pray that we can honor you today, and I pray most of all, Father, that you will help us have a fighter spirit that connects to who you are, in the good and in the bad. And in your mighty Son's name I pray, amen. So, I love the true stories of people who face life's challenge with grit and determination. I love the stories where the challenges come, and they don't make excuses, but instead they take action. And it always inspires my heart. It inspires me in the kind of way where, I don't know, something kind of stirs up, and I want to be better because of these stories. And I think what sets people apart in life is you don't really ever stumble into significance. You have to be purposeful and intentional about living a life that really matters. And when challenges come our way, because everyone in this room knows life brings challenge, it's who we are in those moments that makes the biggest difference. In 1988, in Armenia, a dad took his son named Arman to school. And I think they thought it was going to be like any other day, but it was far from. You see, at 11:41, a devastating earthquake hit Armenia. And the buildings were not made to withstand any kind of earthquake. And most of this part of Armenia was literally left in rubble. You can see the pictures. It was devastating. And this father made sure his wife was okay, and then he ran to the school to go get his son. But when he got there, the entire building was a pile of rubble. And the father just fell to his knees, and he was crying, and he had remembered this intentional promise he made his son. You see, this was a dad who loved his son very much, and he was intentional about the kind of dad he wanted to be. And every day he would tell his son, "No matter what, I will be there for you." And as he's sitting and looking at this destruction, he's crying, and this promise pops up into his head. And with a strong sense of purpose and a strong sense of why, that no matter what, I will always be there for you, he gets up, he looks at the building, and he says, "Okay, I know my son's classroom is over in the right-hand corner, So I'm going to go there and I'm going to start digging. And he starts digging. But it was total destruction and total chaos. And the people that were there, a lot of the other parents had come, and they were kind of debilitated by it. Can you imagine the feeling? And they kind of told Armand's father, just stop. Stop digging. It's a waste of time. It's pointless. The kids are gone. But this dad, he wouldn't stop. This dad had a sense of why, a sense of purpose. There were firefighters and policemen and safety workers, and they were saying, this is very dangerous. There's explosions happening within this debris. And they said, you need to leave it to us. You need to leave it to us, and we'll take care of it. But this dad would not stop digging. It was 12 hours. It was 18 hours. It was 24 hours. At 36 hours, his hands were bloody and raw, but he would not stop digging because he had a sense of purpose. And all that played in his heart and mind was, I will be there for you no matter what. And in the 38th hour, he removed this boulder from this pile of rubble, and he thought he heard talking. So he screams, Armand, Armand! And then this dad heard the most beautiful thing he's ever heard. He heard his son call back, Dad, Dad. He said, I told them not to worry. I told them that my dad would come and save me. And I told them that when you would save me, you would save them. This building had fallen in kind of a triangular way in this classroom, and Armand and 13 other kids were in it alive. And that day, that father, because of an intentional promise he made his son, because of a purpose that drew him forward, even when it all felt so unlikely, he saved not only his son, but 13 other kids. Does that story inspire your heart? It inspires me. That grit and that determination, that fighter spirit to not give up, no matter what, to not give up. You see, I think sometimes we have life that crashes in around us. And Armand made a promise to his son, but our Heavenly Father makes a promise to us. He makes us the very same promise. He says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. That whatever challenge you are going through, whatever hardship is going on in your heart, your mind, or your soul, your Father is a good, good Father. He is trustworthy, he is faithful, and he promises he will never leave you. Today, I wanna call us to a fighter spirit. I don't know who feels like quitting in this room, but sometimes I feel like quitting. And I want to have a fighter spirit that says, I'm going to live with intentionality and purpose to follow the will of God in my life. See, Christ is one of the best examples I could ever think of this. He was a savior of the world, and he lived with intentionality and purpose. And I want to look at his life to understand a little bit more of how maybe we can live ours in a better way. So we're going to be looking at Mark chapter 1, starting at verse 35. And it says this, and rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said, everyone's looking for you. And he said to them, let us go on to the next towns that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out. And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, if you will, you can make me clean. Moved, it says pity, but that's wrong. It's moved with a deep compassion. He stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof of them, to them. But he went out and began to talk freely about it and spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. Okay, so right before these verses, Jesus is healing. He went to Peter. It says Simon, but Simon is Peter. He went to Peter's house, and Peter's mother-in-law was sick, and so he healed her, and kind of word spread. And it says by sundown that everyone from the entire city was at the front door. You ever feel like people need a little bit too much of you? Well, Jesus was living it. Every single person from this city was at the front door. And the Bible tells us that he healed as many people as he could that day. So this is where our verse picks up. Jesus did all these miracles, and now he is going out into the wilderness. He's going to take time to reset and refresh his soul. He's taking an intentional time to be with God. And I think it's so important for us to do the same thing. I love this image. I love this image of going and working and doing your stuff. But to have a fighter spirit, you have to reset. You have to rest, and you have to refresh with God. How easy is it for us to be busy? Anyone? How easy is it for us to fill up our calendar with all the things? How easy is it in our busyness where we feel worn out and exhausted? But Christ wants something better for you, and he's modeling it. He doesn't want you to live this busy life where you're just work, 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 go, 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 go. Instead, he wants you to reset, refresh, and to seek him. You see, he was very, very intentional about what he did. And I love that Jesus goes in the stillness of the morning. I love that it was still dark outside when he got up. I love that he left everyone behind and he went alone. And I think that Mark does this great job of telling us what Peter felt about that. I don't know if Peter was feeling the pressure of everyone is looking for you, Jesus. So Peter goes and he searches for him and he finds him and he makes sure to tell him, everyone is looking for you. But Jesus was a purpose-driven God. And he says to Peter, we got to move on. You see, Jesus didn't allow the voice of others to guide him. He let the loudest voice in his life be his father. And I remember in my early 20s, I was helping lead our children's ministry. And we had just started a 20-something ministry for 20-somethings. And I had this deep desire. I had this deep longing to know God in a better way. I had a deep desire to understand Scripture in a better way. And so I was going through each book of the Bible and trying to write a thesis statement for each book. Like, what did each book of the Bible really mean? What did it really represent? And I was going through the book of Genesis, which is long, and I was going chapter by chapter and writing one or two sentences about what each chapter meant so I could bring it all together. So I'm at my kitchen table, and I just have notes everywhere. I looked like a crazy lady. And my husband's friends, some of his friends were in town from college, so they came over and stopped by to see us. And Jake was outside. And the friends come in, and they're like, what are you doing? So I explained to them what I was doing. And kind of in a mocking tone, one of his friends looks at the other guys and says, someone's got a little too much time on her hands. And they all started laughing at me. And I'm telling you, I was in my early 20s, a girl kind of struggling with her identity, and I kind of felt it in my gut, you know? I felt it. But what I felt more strongly was I was a woman called by God. I had no idea what exactly my call was, but I knew that I wanted to follow him. I knew that I wanted to get to know him better. And because I saw something a little bit farther in the future, I really didn't care what those guys had to say. My number one purpose was not pleasing my friends. My number one purpose was pleasing my father. And sometimes we have to step out in an uncomfortable way. Sometimes it's not going to make total sense to the people around us of why we're living the way we're living. See, I wasn't doing all the things my college friends were doing. We were very different. We lived a very different life. And sometimes you're going to have to say no to the things that don't matter so you can say yes to the things that truly matter. To live a life of purpose, people are going to have opinions. They're going to have thoughts. But our Father's voice has to be the very loudest. And Christ sought God in that way. He sought him with all his heart in that morning. And I love this because there's this picture of these holy moments with God. You see, Christ didn't just do this sporadically. He was intentional. He was intentional about, you'll see it all throughout the Gospels, that he got up and he'd sneak away and he'd go be alone. He'd quiet the noise. You'll see it all throughout the Gospels. It was an intentional thing that he did. And there were these holy moments that he had with God. Have you ever experienced some holy moments? I'm not talking weird. I'm not talking lightning or angels. I'm talking just a real sense of God's presence in your life. I've had these holy moments kind of my entire life. I would have like a normal routine with God daily, but then sometimes I needed to really do what this verse is saying. I needed to get out and be still and quiet the noise of everyone in my life. And I would go, I remember from the time I was young, a teenager, it would be my bedroom. I'd go and close the door. And my prayers were weak, and my intentions were questionable, but I sought God. And I asked him for his purpose in my life. In my early 20s, we were broke, and we rented a bottom of a duplex, the first floor of a duplex. We had two kids. And if your mama's with kids, you know finding free time is not the easiest thing to do. So the very best I could do was when everyone was asleep, I'd go into the living room. And it was in that living room, on my knees on that carpet, when I heard the first calling from God to go into ministry. And I was grateful for it. I'll remember it for the rest of my life. In my 30s, I kind of had a spot where I would go, and it was Hinckley. Anyone been to Hinckley before? Beautiful park, and I'd get up early in the morning, and I would spend time with God. And I swear to you, every single time I went to Hinckley, the scripture or whatever was going in my mind, it would be a call to persevere. So I stopped going to Hinckley. Just kidding. But that call to persevere, it made me want to fight for my family more. That call from God to persevere made me want to fight for my ministry in our church more. Now in my 40s, I have places kind of everywhere. This church is a holy moment for me. There is spots in this church that I've gone to seek God. And I've heard his promises. I have heard the whisper of this I know, that God is for me. I have heard promises, and I've heard his faithfulness, and I felt the presence of God. Do you guys have holy moments? Do you have places that you go to that you will forever remember what God did? You'll forever remember what he spoke to you. Maybe it was just the sense that you felt deeply loved. Holy moments are important. Seeking God with all your heart to have a purpose and intentional life, it's foremost. It has to be the front runner of all the things you do. Amen. And that's what Christ was doing. He was seeking God. He was resetting. He was refreshing. And Peter came to him and said, everyone's looking for you. But because Jesus was purpose-driven, he said, let's move on. I've got a mission. We've got to move on. Keep moving. And in this intentionality, in this purpose-driven action of moving and going on to do what God had called him to do, we see that he meets a leper. He meets a man with leprosy. Now, leprosy is probably one of the cruelest diseases to be diagnosed with during this time. It was cruel not only for the body, but it was cruel for the mind. Because in this time, there was clean and unclean. And if you were unclean, you basically were cast out. If you had leprosy, it was like sores on your body that would be numb, and it was a skin, it would degenerate your skin, and it would often affect your nose, your hands, your feet, and you'd be left disfigured. And I want to connect in this way a little bit better, because I think sometimes you hear a diagnosis and we just can't connect with leprosy. We probably don't even know anyone who's ever had it. So I want to ask you to put yourself in this story for the next couple of minutes, to see yourself as this man. His whole life is turned upside down. This overwhelming diagnosis, now he has to leave his family, he has to leave his friends, he has to leave his job. And he's an outcast, a total and complete outcast. How overwhelming. How incredibly lonely must this man have been? What war must have waged in his mind? Like, what's the point? I'm all alone. What is the point? And this day, Jesus shows up. And the Bible tells us, Mark says that the leper came to Jesus, but I'm just going to be honest, I think Jesus found the leper that day. He was walking with intentionality. He was walking with purpose, and he knew exactly where that man would be. And he showed up, and he met him exactly where he was at. And this leper, he sees Jesus, and he's overwhelmed. He's lonely. He probably has not been touched in years. Can you imagine not being touched for 1 week? What about a month? What about a year? What about a decade of no human touching you? He sees Jesus and he falls at his feet. And the Bible tells us in the most earnest and deepest part of his heart, he knows that Jesus can heal him. In the deepest part of his soul, he knows that he can make him clean. So he falls and he says, Jesus, if you will, if you desire, you can make me clean. And then because our God is a God that doesn't just make us clean, but he touches something deeper in our soul, he did something so beautiful that day. You see, you'll see Jesus speak miracles into existence all the time. But this man needed something that Jesus wanted to give him. And Jesus reached out his hand, he stretched out his hand, and he touched the untouchable. He did something for this man that no one and nothing else could do. He reached out and he touched him. And he said, I will. I desire this. Be clean. And instantly, the man was clean. Church, I don't know what part of you might feel overwhelmed. I don't know what part of you feels the pain of life. I don't know what part of you feels that crushing weight of shame. I don't know what things you've pushed down so deep in your soul that it feels like no one and nothing can touch it. But your Father, he is stretching out his hand, and he wants to do for you what nothing and no one else will do. And he's saying, I desire a better life for you. I desire something more. And he reaches out and he does this beautiful thing with intentionality, with purpose, and he heals this man. But it's the same healing he wants for us. He's saying, just grab hold of the hand. There are miraculous things that happen when you start to follow God. There are things that will turn your life around. God is a God of miracles. He is a God of beauty and dignity and nobility. He's a God of intentionality and purpose. And I want you to know that God wants something better for your life. He wants you to reach out and hold and grab his hand. He wants you to know that you were called with a purpose, that you are here on earth, in this part of history, in this part of the world, in the family that you're in the church that you're in, for a purpose. Amen. And it's time to stop living life and just letting life go by and just be destroyed by all the things that are going on. But instead, step into a God who is always there for you no matter what. He will never leave you, and he will never forsake you. He will not leave you alone in the challenges of life. He won't do it. It's a promise from his heart to ours. And in that day, that man was healed instantly. And I just wonder, what parts of our soul truly need him? What parts of our soul long for that touch? Today is a good day to give it to Christ. Today is a good day to just surrender. And in the deepest, most earnest part of your heart, say to him, Father, if you will, you can make me clean. You see, I think we all have leprosy of the soul. I think every single one of us have spots on our soul that we wish we didn't do. We've all made mistakes that we wish we could erase. We've all fallen short. And God is here to make you clean. It is the desire of his heart. And in those moments when you realize the things that you've done, all you have to do is say, Father, if you will, make me clean. And Jesus shows up to do the miraculous. See, I love that God is a God of miracles. I have inadequate words for how thankful I am for the miracles in my life. When I was pregnant with my daughter, Taylor, we went to our doctor's appointment, and they told us there was no baby, and they wanted to do a D&C. And we were heartbroken, and we declined, and we called my mom and dad, and we came to the church, and we prayed. And now my Taylor is 18 years old. I am grateful for the miracles of God. I am grateful for the people who have trusted us to help them in their marriage. I'm thankful that we've prayed and prayed and prayed, and God has moved and transforms hearts. And marriages that we thought would never be saved by the miracle of God, they are now thriving, including our own. And I am thankful for those miracles. I prayed and prayed and prayed for some of my friends who just could not have babies. It was not possible. They couldn't have babies, and now they're holding their children. I'm overwhelmed with the gratefulness. 5-6 weeks ago, when my mama called me because she had a stroke and she needed help, I love her so very much, and I'm thankful for all the prayers in here, because we got a miracle that day. But when I was driving to her house, I couldn't get there fast enough. I was breaking every law there was. So cops, please ignore this part of the conversation. And I was just getting there, trying to get there as fast as I could. And all I had in my heart was, Father, please, please. And it was enough. He heard our prayer. And my mom, this family, we believe with all our heart, we believe we got a miracle. Because God is a God of miracles. See, I want to honor God for who he is. I want to thank him for the miracles in my life. I want to thank him for the intentionality, and I want to thank him for the purpose and the calling in our lives. And while I believe with all my heart that you should believe in miracles, while I'll never stop praying, while I'll never stop giving up hope that God will do, transform lives, that he'll move mountains, that he'll do the miraculous, I also want to have a maturity of soul for us. I want to have a depth of character that even if what I truly desire doesn't happen, I believe God is still good. It takes depth. It takes strength. You see, that leper did not choose leprosy. Armand's father did not choose for the building to fall. There are things in our lives that we do not choose. We just don't choose it. There are the bad diagnosis. There's having to say goodbye to somebody that you just aren't ready to say goodbye to. There's the hurt of people you love treating you poorly. There's sometimes the hurt of your child. There are things we don't choose, but we know they happen. And I so badly do not want you to quit and give up on God during those times. I want you to say, this is a God that I trust. This is a God who will never leave me or forsake me, and I will lean on him instead of leaning away. But it takes a heart of purpose. It takes intentionality. And I just want you to know that if you feel that way in this moment, like you just feel lost, you feel overwhelmed, something's happened that you just truly didn't desire, Christ paved the way for us in this feeling. You see, Jesus knew what his purpose would cost. He knew that the cross was in his future. He knew the humiliation he would suffer. He knew the pain that he would feel. But he was so purposeful, he was willing to give up his own desire to follow the higher purpose, the higher calling of God in his life. Would you be interested to know that something Jesus desired didn't happen? We can find it in Luke, and it's Luke chapter 22. Starting at verse 42. You're going to see these parentheses, okay? This is what the parentheses are. I looked up the original Greek text, and I think willing. I think it's helpful to know what the actual word means. So in the parentheses, you're going to see what the actual Greek text word means, so you can understand it in a better way. So here he says, Father, if you're willing, Father, if you plan or purpose, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, not my desire, but yours be done. Is this not one of the most noble prayers that you've ever seen in your life? Is this not one of the most powerful prayers you will ever see in Scripture? He's saying, Father, I'm asking for the miracle of letting this cup pass. If I can do it a different way and don't have to go to the cross, I'm in. He's asking. It's his desire. But he's willing to give up what he truly wished, what he truly desired for the Father's plan. It's noble. It's beautiful. It's overwhelming. And then I want you to see what happens next. Although he was not able to get the miracle that day, Look at what God does for him. And there appeared to him an angel from heaven strengthening him. He didn't get what he wished. He didn't get what he desired. But God was with him every step of the way. Jesus' intentionality was so overwhelming, so wonderful that he gave up his miracle so that we could have ours. He said no to his desire so he could live his higher calling and his higher purpose and give us the miracle. The miracle that when we believe and when we trust in the name of Jesus, when we ask for forgiveness, all our sins, all the leprosy of our soul is made clean. He died and rose again so that we could have the promise of eternal life. He gave up his desire so he could live out his higher calling and his higher purpose. And I just want to ask you a question. What would it take for you to have such a deep faith in God that you trust in his plan and his purpose so much that you would sacrifice your own desire? When I led the children's ministry, We had a little girl who had leukemia. I'm sorry, I really promised I wasn't going to cry this much in a sermon. I am so sorry. And she was 10 years old. And we prayed and we prayed and we prayed our hearts out for this mom and her daughter. And we didn't get the miracle. But the intentionality and the faith of this mother, it inspires me to this day. I went over the day before she died, and we prayed together, and the mom told me, she told me, Jordan's asking what's next. Like, what do I expect next? And this mother, in her beautiful wisdom and her deep faith and trust in God, that even though she wasn't getting what she truly desired, she trusted in God in spite of it all. And she said to her daughter, I'm going to be holding you, and you're going to fall asleep, and then when you wake up, Jesus is going to be holding you. What intentionality of that mom. How broken must her heart have been. But she trusted in God in the kind of way that has made a lasting impression on my life. I will never forget it. See, what if you living out your purpose and your calling with intentionality? What if you not quitting means that someone who is watching, their lives might be changed forever? What if your purpose is connected to something so much more and bigger that you can't even see? You see, Christ's purpose was for generation to generation. It was for all mankind, and it was a lasting purpose. My mom and dad started this church 40 years ago. And I have watched their grit. I've watched their determination. I have watched how they have so selflessly sacrificed time and time and time again. I've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly of the church, and I've seen how they have rose to the occasion every single time to honor God with the very best of their ability. And it inspires my heart. It inspires me to live differently. And now I want to be an inspiration to the next generation. I want my kids to watch their mama and say, that is a woman of courage and faith. And even when life was not good, she trusted in a God who was. I want that for all of us, that no matter where you are at, whatever challenges are coming your way, you know that you can make an effect on the generations around you, on the people around you. Living a life with purpose isn't just a good idea. It is something that this world so desperately needs. So, my fighters, I call you to fight. I call you to not give up. I call you to trust in God and seek Him in those private moments. I call you to believe in the miraculous. But then I call you for depth and maturity of soul, that even if what you don't desire happens, that you believe and trust in a God who is good. Do not quit. Do not give up. Fight the good fight. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I love you so very much. I so desperately want us to have a maturity of faith that trusts you in a brand new way. I pray that you will help us live out our purpose with intentionality so that we can make an impact on the people's lives around us. And I pray that your name will be honored and glorified in all we do. In your mighty Son's name I pray, amen.